Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145:8. And Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Now would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Proverbs 25:1. Proverbs 25:1. We always give a few moments for our precious children to leave the auditorium to go to their class. And you always notice that there's a little noise along the way. It's a friendly bunch, of course, and we appreciate our children, our boys and girls, and appreciate our teachers who communicate to them the wonderful Word of God. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to focus our attention upon God's truth, God's Word. That's our reason for coming here, to open our hearts and minds to the Scriptures. And God has given us this wonderful book, the completed canon of Scripture. He's given us the means by which we can hear the Word of God while in fellowship. And when we do that in fellowship, we're able to comprehend and utilize the things we're learning. That's the reason why it's important for us to spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. I also want to mention today, before I ask you to join me in prayer, to notice that the insert in today's bulletin is one of the best you've ever seen. And I trust that you will take this out of the bulletin and put it in your Bible and keep that information in your Bible, because I believe it would be extremely helpful. Oftentimes newer folk come in and they want to know why we say certain things and use certain initials. This will help you in that matter. So on the last page of our insert today, there are some interesting letters that will reveal some of the things that we've been saying over the years. I also want you to know that our church started back in 1975, and over the years we've had a tax-exempt number, and for some reason that got lost in the shuffle. But I'm happy to announce to our entire congregation that that has all been renewed, and we do have a legitimate tax number. So I know that that is exciting to all of you, but I did want you to know that, because that information now will be placed in file, and we appreciate the fact that we are legitimate from that standpoint, and we have been for all these years. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful that we are privileged to study the Word of God. We are blessed individuals indeed, because we realize again that we are members of that great family, God's family, the royal family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have been tremendously blessed, and we thank you for it. We do not deserve any of the blessings which you give us from day to day, but we realize that it's all because of God's love and God's grace. And we're the recipients of joy and peace and contentment and happiness because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now as we come again to open our minds and hearts to your word, we pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All of you are aware of the fact that we've been studying the various books of the Bible and finding the Lord Jesus Christ so beautifully presented in each one of the books. Two Sundays ago, we started an emphasis on the book of Proverbs. At that time, I thought that I might be able to take you very rapidly through all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs in one session. I should have known better than that, but I realized that when I got to chapter 20, that I'd gone far enough for that particular session. And then I promised you that I would do the rest of the chapters the next Sunday, and I didn't keep my promise. So now two Sundays have come and gone, and it's time for me to keep my promise and take you to chapter 21. But the verse of scripture we're using to introduce this is Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1, which says, "These also are proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed." I want to pause for a moment and let you see what we're doing here this morning. We're beginning our study with chapter 21 through the end of the book of Proverbs. But we're looking now at something that emphasizes the content of these particular chapters, actually chapters 25 to 29. But it says, "These also are proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed." Hezekiah, as we may or may not know, lived about 200 years or more after Solomon. So this reveals to us the fact that Solomon's manuscripts may have been worn out, and it appears, according to our key verse today, that the men of Hezekiah's day copied these chapters, which includes, as I mentioned a moment ago, chapters 25 through 29. The emphasis that I want to give today is that one of the basic items in Hezekiah's reform movement was a renewed interest in God's Word. And this is presented to us in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Picking up with our journey through the 31 chapters of Proverbs and discovering the major emphasis, we're now going to continue with chapter 21. So if you will, please open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. And what I'm going to do is to take you so rapidly that you won't be able to look up all these verses. But I want you to see that we're taking you on a journey from Proverbs chapter 21 all the way through to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 21, we find that it presents to us ways to be wise. And we're going to emphasize this just for a little bit. In Proverbs chapter 21, we have ways to be wise. I thought you might be interested in Proverbs 21:9, where it says, "Don't be crabby, don't be grumpy, and don't be a complainer." I believe that that is a very good area for us to think about on how to be wise. Don't be crabby, don't be grumpy, and don't be a complainer. One of the things that I've noticed over the years that in my own life and probably in the lives of other individuals, there are times when you and I become crabby, we're grumpy, and we're complainers. That is a great tendency that I have. I don't like to put up with foolishness. And when they don't throw my paper, I don't like that at all. And so I like to let them know, but I don't want to do it. So I asked Joyce to call and tell them the paper didn't get there. And then this morning, when the paper for the second time didn't come, I got on the phone myself. And I was very kind, and I was very tender, and I was very tender-hearted. And I want you to know that I said, "This is the second time that we've not received our Baytown son." And I wanted to say that three times is out. When you strike three times, you're out. But I didn't say that. But I wanted you to know that I'm trying to keep in touch with what I'm preaching. Don't be crabby. Don't be grumpy. And don't be a complainer. So Proverbs 21:9 says, "It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman." And I felt like that was a passage I needed to let you see today. But I also wanted you to see that the masculine gender could also be used in this verse of Scripture. Most of you remember this because it's an emphasis upon the fact that a woman shouldn't be crabby or grumpy or a complainer. It says, "It is better to live in a corner of a roof than a house shared with a contentious woman." So much for that. You'll notice that the first thing for us to practice is don't be fitting into the crabby, grumpy area, but we are to be wise. And then the second thing is, you'll notice that I have here, save for hard times. And this is found in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. If you want to write that, save for hard times. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. That's Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. But then it says, but a foolish man swallows it up. Proverbs 21, 20. The third thing that is necessary for us to be wise is to stay out of debt. In Proverbs 21, verse 30, which says, there is no wisdom and no understanding for the person who involves himself in debt. The fourth thing to be wise is to put God first. In Proverbs 21, verse 3, it says to do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord rather than sacrifice. An emphasis here on Proverbs 21, 3, put God first. Number five, walk in humility before the Lord. This is presented to us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, which says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Walk in humility before the Lord. The sixth way to be wise is to diligently plan and then work the plan. This is one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, is to plan and then work the plan. Proverbs 21:5 tells us, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who's hasty comes surely to poverty. Proverbs 21:5. I have to be careful that I don't go too slowly because I enjoy preaching on any of these verses. But number seven, the way to be wise is to stay on the right path. Proverbs chapter 21:21 says, he who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. This is a brief cover of Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 22, the very first word of the very first verse says, a good name is better than being wealthy. We need to write that down somewhere and keep that in mind. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is better than being wealthy. Become also a dedicated parent. We find that in verse 6 because it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. In verse 9, we are told not to be stingy. The scripture there says, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. So don't be stingy. The fourth thing is, it says in verse 13, foolishness can be subtracted by discipline. Do not hold back discipline from the child. The fifth thing that I mention here in this chapter is listen attentively to the truth and then let the mind utilize and apply those things which you have received from the communication of the Word of God. Listen attentively to truth and then let the mind utilize and apply those things which you learn. This is found in verse 17, which says, live in the fear of the Lord always. Doesn't mean here to be afraid of the Lord. It means to have awe and respect for the Lord. That takes us to Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, we read, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. We've heard this verse many, many times. Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I put down here, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. I feel like this is something that you ought to copy and put into your thinking on a day-by-day basis. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. In other words, have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 23 emphasizes that we're to think as God wants us to think. Also, if you wish to know the mind of God, it is important that we listen to the words of Jesus. I feel like that's an interesting statement that should be remembered. If you wish to know the mind of God, listen to the words of Jesus. Number three, a stale mind is the devil's bread box. We could talk a long time about that, but let's move to number four. An empty mind opens the door to Satan. I want to dwell there for just a few moments. I want you to see that if we're not taking in the Word of God on a consistent basis, we're going to be then under the control, if we're not careful, of our old sinful nature. And we will have what I classify as an empty mind. An empty mind opens the door to Satan. Number five, if you don't control your mind, the old sinful nature will control your mind. Very important to see that. Let's move then to number four, the Proverbs chapter 24. In verses 3 and 4 of this wonderful 24th chapter, there's an emphasis upon wisdom. Most of us by now understand that the word wisdom comes from the Greek word sophia, and that is simply the word which emphasizes the proper utilization and application of the Word of God. So that means that if we're going to be what we should be, we have a mind open to the Word of God, we advance, we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the second part of Proverbs 24 emphasizes how a spiritual house is constructed. I don't want to go into these verses now, but I want you to write these down, please. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, there's an emphasis upon having this spiritual house constructed. That moves us to chapter 25. When you go to chapter 25, you're going to read these words. Like apples of gold in setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Let me pause for a moment on this verse because I want you to see how unique it is. Like apples of gold in setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. All of us are aware of the fact that words are used by all of us to communicate. This is saying that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I found some interesting things about words. When we've come to Proverbs 25:11, I'll read again. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. There have been times over the years that I've wondered why people use certain words. For instance, why is it that doctors call what they do a practice? It's really, we don't want a doctor who's practicing. We want someone who's accomplished. So why is that the doctors call what they do a practice? And why is the man who invests your money called a broker? I don't understand that either. And why is the time of day with the slowest traffic called the rush hour? Have you ever wondered about that? And why do they call apartments when they're stuck together? And also, why can't women put on mascara with their mouths closed? Have you ever wondered about that? Why is the word abbreviation such a long word? We're talking about words. Why do we drive on parkways and park on driveways? Or why is it that when you transport something by car, it's called a shipment? And when you transport something by ship, it's called a cargo. We're talking about words. I want you to see how enjoyable it is to study, to teach you folks. Language is a great gift from God that sets us apart from every other creature. But sometimes our words are misunderstood. Sometimes our words are mistranslated. For example, I found some commercial slogans that had been translated into other languages of other countries. And of course, they didn't translate the same way that they translate in the United States of America. For instance, Kentucky Fried Chicken, finger licking good. In China, it came out as eat your fingers off. Finger licking good. The Pepsi slogan, for instance, come alive with the Pepsi generation, came out in Taiwan as Pepsi will bring your ancestors back from the dead. When General Motors introduced the Chevy Nova in South America, they were unaware that the fact that the word Nova means it won't go. They didn't sell many cars in South America. And I'm not sure whether I should read this, but I will since there's no one here but us. The Coors Beer, they have a slogan that says, turn it loose. Was mistranslated in Spanish as drink Coors and get diarrhea. The words we use to communicate can be very powerful words. Now, I want you to forget what I just said a few moments ago, because I wondered whether I should read that. But the words we use to communicate can be very powerful. So we need to be very careful how we use words. Words can make us happy. Words can make us sad. They can make us angry. Or they can fill us with joy. They can make us laugh. They can make us cry. They can heal or they can hurt. Words are important of life. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs 18:21. It's good now for you to write that verse down. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and the power of death. In Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:4. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's Proverbs 16:24. Proverbs 25:11, which is our verse today, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Words have the power to heal, and words have the power to destroy. If you'll notice what's on the screen, shallow words. Please notice what it says. Paul writing to the Ephesians, let no one deceive you with empty, shallow words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Words are used to communicate. Sometimes words can be shallow words. And let me repeat, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian believers said, let no one deceive you with shallow, empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. The scripture also reveals to us that words can be death words. The tongue has the power of life and death. I referred to that just a moment ago in Proverbs 18:21. In James 3:8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. I want you to realize today that all of us in this auditorium and everyone hearing my voice, you have a tongue. Isn't it interesting that you have two ears and one mouth and one tongue? Isn't it interesting that most of the time your mouth is closed? And that means that the tongue is not wagging. I don't know whether I should get into this or not, but the scripture says, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless evil and full of deadly poison, death words. But the scripture also reveals to us that words can be life words. Either they can sting or they can soothe. Our words can either sting or soothe. They can inspire or they can encourage. Proverbs 15:4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If you will, put that one down, please. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That takes us to Proverbs chapter 26. It's interesting when you get into Proverbs chapter 26 that there's an emphasis upon the use of the tongue from the way of gossiping. And let me read to you some verses of scripture which I have designed. First of all, I found this. Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Very interesting passage of scripture, Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of a person's being. Proverbs 26:22, let me say it again. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost part of a person's being. Proverbs 26:22, I repeat, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's, woman's innermost parts. You'll notice I emphasize here Proverbs 26:22, one time, two times, three times, and there's a reason for that. So we have an emphasis upon the fact that in Proverbs 26:22, there's an emphasis upon how sad it is to be a gossip. Also found in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, which we will not read. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. The scripture says that we have no assurance of tomorrow. We're here today. We may be gone tomorrow. We are to remind ourselves over and over again that in these passages of scripture, in chapter 27, with the emphasis upon no assurance of tomorrow, God gives us one day at a time. And then the latter part of that chapter emphasizes the fact that there are more emphases on the subject of fools. We move then to chapter number 8, which is chapters 28 and 29. We're not to hide our eyes with reference to those who are in need. All of us have a responsibility as born-again believers to be of assistance to those who have need. We're not to hide our eyes with reference to those who are poor. And then we have an emphasis in these chapters of chapters 28 and 29. It says, a wise person eliminates anger. And this is a reminder to all of us not to be under the control of our old sinful nature. That takes us to Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, we have an emphasis upon augur, A-G-U-R. Augur was unknown, but probably a friend of Solomon. So we have then that Solomon liked his Proverbs so well that he thought it worthwhile to include them in his own book. That takes us very rapidly to the last chapter, chapter 31. Most of us remember this chapter because we've heard it many, many times in relationship to the responsibility that a mother has. A mother's counsel to a king. Lemuel is thought possibly to have been another name for Solomon. If so, then Bathsheba was the mother who taught him this beautiful poem in Proverbs chapter 31. What I've discovered, and I'm sure you've discovered, that in this magnificent chapter, chapter 31 of Proverbs, we have the mother's influence revealed in Solomon's life as a young man. But we notice something else as we study the book of Proverbs. In his old age, contrary to his very own proverb of 22:6, we see Satan's influence in the life of Solomon. It's amazing to me. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that Solomon moved from one area in life to another area in life. He moved from a standpoint of having one companion, and we've been able to see that, and the beautiful relationship of that individual with one as God intended for it to be. And then we see him as we move through the book of Proverbs over to the point of having, 700 women and 300, as one child said, porcupines, concubines. And so we discover that he had involved himself in relationship to many women. And these many women, of course, moved his heart away from God and moved him into lasciviousness and idolatry. So when you study the book of Proverbs, you're going to be able to see that there's an emphasis then on the fact that his mother's influence is revealed in Solomon's life when he was young, as a young man. But then we see him in his old age, contrary to his very own teaching, we see him under the influence of Satan revealed so vividly. So I had to come to the conclusion to write something to close the message. Just as Solomon, we have a daily choice of who will be the master of our lives. I wanted you to pause with me and think about that. It's interesting to study the various chapters, 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and find so many magnificent truths, and find a man who started in a magnificent way, and then we find him in his old age, contrary to his very own teaching in Proverbs 22:6, we see him under the influence of the world and satanic thinking. Just as Solomon, we have a daily responsibility and a daily choice. We make decisions every single day, moment by moment, who will be the master of our lives. How fantastic to see that. I really don't want to leave the book of Proverbs, but in the next session, we're going to begin a new study in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's going to be interesting, and I trust that you'll stay through the break and come back for the second session. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we realize today again that we have such a magnificent book, the completed, beautiful canon of Scripture. This is God's Word, and we find Jesus presented to us in every book of the Bible. It's amazing to be able to see the influence of our Heavenly Father and the members of the Godhead as we make our way through each of the books of the Old Testament. We're aware of the fact that this is all true as we, also true as we move into the New Testament. We find the emphasis upon the handiwork of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We appreciate the fact that in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead were all effective in working, and the Lord Jesus Christ was effective in working. And we see this over and over again, that Jesus Christ moved triumphantly and victoriously and magnificently throughout these wonderful chapters of the Old Testament. We're thankful that Jesus Christ was very active before he was born, before he came as the God-man, came in the flesh. And we are aware of the fact, as we take a look at this entire Word of God, that God's plan is magnificent and wonderful. And God's plan includes joy and peace and victory and salvation for individuals. We're thankful that Jesus was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We're thankful that we're able to see him in the Old Testament, and then we're able to see him in the New Testament and see all the things that transpire. How beautiful it is to see God's love for mankind. We realize that the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." That's the reason why Jesus left heaven's glory. And he came to this earth. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave, victorious and triumphant over hell and the grave and death and sin. We're thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And in these closing moments, the person who hears this voice today and hears these magnificent verses, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they understand that they are very important. Their soul is eternal. And this very moment is the most important moment of their life if they'll make the decision to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. We realize that the Bible says, whosoever, that means anyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thankful for that passage, plus many others that reveal to us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And so we pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pleasing. expectation of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. Pleasing to you, pleasing.